On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the app. See, you should have checked the levels. I'm too hot. There we go.
Oh, I'm hot. Who said nobody ever?
Too hot, I believe is what I said.
Okay.
Welcome to Tall Can Sports on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network at Tall Can Audio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Tall Can Audio, Patreon.com/Tall Can Audio. What's going on, man?
I'm super intrigued by all things draft related. I know that's probably not on the docket today, but... That is what's going on right now. Living the life of
a non-contender.
One that's been, your team has been done for 2 months and you're waiting for
at
this
best.
Fucking schmozzle of a season. Well, officially done.
Yeah, exactly.
Waiting for this season to be done. Is it done now? Yes, it's done.
Getting close. Oh, see, whatever.
No, I didn't
that's
care.
How that's going
to
go.
Exactly.
First things first, man. Got something pretty cool coming up next week.
We do.
For those of you who follow along on Patreon, you've known for a few days now. Those of you who aren't, you should.
Slow to the party.
Be in the loop, man. Next week, we will have, to help us tee up the CFL season, AJ Jakubek of TSN 1200, the voice of the Red Blacks, is going to be here, man, in studio this time.
Outstanding. And AJ brings, and I'd like to pick his brain on a bunch of things. I'm not sure what he's committed to, but with World Cup Russia around the corner, he is a soccer aficionado. So
okay.
I know we are not, and likely neither are our listeners, but we'd be remiss if we didn't touch on it with
it's true.
With the Jackie Bachelor in the house.
Love that. The other thing worth mentioning, our good friends at Need a Beer are going to sponsor our CFL tee-up show. So they'll be back on board, providing us with a little product as AJ's in town.
I do like that.
Sure. And so thanks to them. You can visit them at needabeer.com.
And you should.
Yeah, absolutely. And at needabeer on basically all the social media places. So big thanks to them. You will find interesting, I was talking to AJ.
Me or them?
You.
Okay, me personally.
Maybe you will. Huh?
Yeah, don't speak.
What the fuck do I know?
You can't speak for me. Like, really, you can't speak for me.
Yeah, there's rarely a break in which to do so.
I speak very well for myself.
Was talking to him, asking him what type of beer he's into or whatever and where I was going to get it. He's already a big fan of theirs. And he said, I forget what it's called, but I like the coconut one.
Huh. And you just say you found a
kindred
soulmate.
Spirit. Yeah, I told him and I said, you know, it's been a little divisive. In my social circle, people love it or hate it, but the term suntan lotion has been used once or twice.
Thrown around.
And he said anyone who thinks that's fucking crazy. So
Okay, well then.
Out to lunch, I believe.
Right away we have talking point number one.
That's right. So that'll be next week on Tall Can Sports. AJ Jakubek, the voice of the Red Blacks. That's going to be super cool.
Voice of the Red Blacks, voice of the Ottawa Fury.
True.
Sometime voice of your Ottawa 67s. Yes.
Frequently.
Honestly, and he's a guy who does sports vacations, travels to watch NCAA basketball, like a really well-rounded sports guy.
Yeah.
Quite a coup for us to have AJ in studio.
For sure. He did join us back during Grey Cup week on Skype. I think this will provide a different vibe, a different similar to when we had Scott MacArthur in, where you can kind of kick it around on a few different topics.
And it's always better, right? The Skype thing is great. It's great to have his insight.
Yep.
But when you can actually make eye contact, you're not feeling like you're giving that long, pregnant pause to make sure your guest is done.
Yeah, right.
This is going to be good. I'm looking forward to it.
For sure. So look for that. Yeah. Look for that next week at tallcanaudio.com and on your podcast feeds. Man, we had a few things we wanted to touch on. Anywhere in particular you'd like to start?
I'd like to start with you had a very provocative talk of the Caps running up the score.
Yeah.
And how certain talking heads maybe at NBC felt like that's what resulted in the nasty play at the end.
Yeah. Game four finishes 6-2. Game was never really...
The game was done in the first period.
Which was... I said that at the end of the first... When they made it 3-0 with like 20 seconds left, like,
yeah,
that's the fucking backbreaker. We're done.
I call game. I call game. That's it.
After that, you know, Vegas gets a couple in the second, but it was never.
Vegas got a couple in the middle of the third.
Sorry, not yes, but it was never in doubt.
Because I was already snoring, scratching. Potentially farting. By that point, it was honestly, I was like.
Once I'm asleep, I lose control. I have no idea what's happening.
I have no control over what's happening over here. Yeah, I was sort of in and out, right? But
it got a little ugly. But, you know, Ryan Reeves starts doing Ryan Reeves things. And really, a bunch of guys were getting chippy. And so, yeah, there was a few of the different NBC talking heads who said that this is on Washington for running up the score.
You know what? I don't. And you asked me if I felt like that was happening.
Yeah.
What I feel like was happening is Vegas needs to be better. Like, what do you want the Caps to do?
Yeah.
Two of the first four were on the power play. That's just, they've been getting lit up by that. It's, to me, there was no running up of the score. And if you're not happy, that to me is just guys being displeased with their fate.
Well, and yeah, and you see that, right? Winning, especially in a playoff series. Especially as it gets deeper and deeper, when a game is out of hand, stuff does start to get shitty. A, because you're pissed off, but also you're, oh, it's a long road back. Maybe I can make an investment here in something, right? And but I agree. I didn't feel like Washington was running up the score, but we, in the same way that, you know, maybe Vegas is feeling like they can lay a hit on somebody that'll pay dividends down the road, Washington is looking at this series not being over. And if I can send a message here that I'm going to keep fucking scoring on you. Like, this isn't peewee hockey, right? There's a time and a place for these sorts of things. I don't feel like they were intentionally running up the score, but there was a point where, I can't remember now, one of the Vegas guys had taken kind of a cheap shot in the third period, and Trotz and the Caps responded with already up by three by sending out their top power play.
Yeah.
I think that's playoff hockey.
Yeah. And I think if you look at it, the Caps invite, and I don't blame them, right? The game, when the whistle's done, it's the Stanley Cup Finals, man. Yep. Pedal to the metal. Ugly incidents also arise from things like the Caps mocking the Knights with their head throwing back bit, yep. You know, like, hey, stop embellishing and maybe you'll get a couple of those calls.
Yeah.
Doing the whole, Backstrom was doing it, whipping his head back.
Well, it's interesting, eh? Because Friedman talked about that in the pregame, that this apparently had become a thing that the referees were sick of, and then sure enough, there it is playing out. Even Washington's having some fun with it, right?
Yeah.
So it clearly had become a thing around the series that people were aware of. You know, to me, you're playing a good team, right? Everybody's a good team in this deep in the playoffs, and you don't leave any room for, and you know, you'll excuse me for making this a little Leaf-centric. In 2013, in that Boston series, if the Leafs make it 5 or 6-1, they're getting accused of the same thing, running the score up in a game seven on some, and they not because so they don't not because they chose not to. They clearly couldn't.
Right.
But that was a huge lead with only 10 minutes left in a game seven. You have an opponent down. If you can put a dagger in their heart, you fucking do it over and over and over.
Because right? in a 4-1 game, the biggest goal is that second one.
Yeah.
The one that makes 4-2, you got 10 minutes to go, whatever it is, and you're like, okay.
We can do that. Yeah.
Seed is planted.
Goes to your legs and, and then puts you go, the doubt in the other guys.
4-3.
Yeah.
And then everybody's a sphincter's pucker. Right? So, no, you got to score. You got to take every opportunity that rolls your way.
Yeah. You finish somebody when you're at this point in the
And you know what? Kudos to you, right? We had this, finish him. We had that whole conversation of Fleury, and you had said before this series started, right, that he had played, it was
unsustainably high.
Right. And and I thought, all right, three series, why can't you do one more? Right? And he has, his numbers have gone, 845.
840.
This, yeah. Yeah. Don't hold
from
me to
949.
Don't hold me to 845 on this, but it's ish.
It's down from 949.
If you're in the mid 800s, you're not doing so hot, right? And that is a huge drop.
So they posed the question last night on the Steve Dangle podcast. I thought it was interesting, and I want to put it to you. Clearly, the possibility of Marc-Andre Fleury winning the Conn Smythe in a loss is gone.
You don't hear that chatter, which was so heavy up until the beginning of the series.
Yeah.
Even if they lose Marc-Andre Fleury, Conn Smythe.
That's got to be totally out the window.
I haven't heard that since before game one.
If they somehow come all the way back and win this, is he still the only Golden Knight you can really think of that?
Is William Karlsson still playing in this series?
And for two different goals against in game four, he was just there's one where I think it was Riley Smith is pointing at him and he's got, go over there and cover that guy. Nope, snap in the net.
He's got great flow, but man, that's about it. Yeah. And
he wasn't, we're recording this on Wednesday. He wasn't at practice today. So whether he's nursing something.
Right on, man. Well, he wasn't in the past two games either.
Yeah. So what the fuck?
Game three, and for large stretches of four, right? You see Marchessault out there, you see Riley Smith, and you go, you're waiting and you're looking and you're like, where's Karlsson? Nowhere to be seen. Invisible.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. He's in Wonder Woman's plane. I'm not really sure what's going on there.
Today it was former Sens prospect slash former Leafs prospect, Tobias Lindberg, that was skating with those two in practice.
Why do you keep saying prospect?
What is I definitely botched it the first time. I tried to bring her back around the second time.
Tighten it up, man.
I'm working on it. It's been a day.
Tobias Lindberg, the former Oshawa General?
Yep. So I'm not sure. I assume that means Karlsson is playing tomorrow and he's a placeholder, right? Otherwise, you move somebody else up into that.
Six-goal Swede for six-goal Swede.
So, we won't get too heavy into the series, but I did think it was interesting, the talk of... I don't think there is such a thing in the Stanley Cup Final running up the score.
A port to him. Port right to him.
Honestly, hit him with it. Keep hitting him with it.
Well, and over again.
Yeah.
Right? Nice to see Oshie get piled into the boards, though. Right, and he gets up and he looks, he's got that punk ass look, like, hey!
Throw your head back, buddy. Throw it.
Yeah, this is it. Now's the time. Oh, wait, my helmet's already on the back of my head. I can't throw it back any further. Yeah, you got piled in their head first pretty good.
Yeah, for sure.
Yikes.
If Ovechkin does what it looks like he's going to do and wins a cup here, who is the new poster boy for choke, right? Can't win the big one.
Is it Joe Thornton still?
That's the first name
is
that came
Patrick
to mind for
Marleau?
Me. Well, could be, right?
Like those Sharks to me are the guys. Right?
Is there anyone left who's been around long enough in St. Louis, right? Like that would be a team that for a long time was supposed to go deep, never did. Right? Okay. I think he's going to get off the hook.
He's off the schneid here pretty soon.
Yeah. It's probably Thornton, right?
It's those two guys.
Yeah.
To me, the ones who were around for those Sharks heydays.
Yeah.
You know, through the – no, to me, everybody else has sort of got in and got theirs. Ovi is overwhelmingly the guy, you know, the Ernie Banks right. sort of of hockey.
He's going to get the Conn Smythe thing. He's 5 points back at Kuznetsov.
I think you got to give it to Kuznetsov, right, at this point.
I tend to agree, but I just wonder if because of the name, because of the narrative, because of the
– Do you have any problem with the bird thing?
Yeah. I think it's goofy as shit. But
yeah, it's divisive though, right? Like some people are like, I think it's cool.
I don't care. Like it doesn't fire me up, but it makes me want to. I guess it does fire me up. It makes me want to punch him.
If you were a Vegas knight, would that not just?
I'm gonna clip your wings, buddy.
Right now, McNabb.
Yeah, for sure.
Crunch.
What else are you doing, Carlson? Do something.
Yeah, can you go out there and give him the Harlamov treatment or something?
He is currently.
I am not actually calling out for. Yes, I am actually. Yeah.
He is currently, Kuznetsov, that is, 5 points back of the all-time Russian playoff, like single season scoring record. Do you want to take a stab at who might hold it?
Geno Malkin.
It is Geno Malkin with 36 points.
Any other questions you'd like me to answer?
Who is he currently tied with for second most?
Sidney Crosby?
No, we're talking about Russians.
Oh, because that's also, I think, the all-time single-season scoring. Malkin, 36.
Oh, could be. I'm not prepared to.
Okay. Well,
I didn't do that much research.
Ladies and gentlemen, wait for that to get injected into the show later. Second most highest scoring Russian
for one playoff season or one playoff.
Fedorov. Wait, how many guesses do I get?
Well, I would have thought that was it. That was the guess, but one more. Go to the 90s. You did with Fedorov, but.
90s. Wow. I don't know.
Pavel Bure, 1994.
Okay.
Took that ride with the Canucks. Yeah. So.
All apologies to you, sweet-lipped Pavel Bure.
You wanted to talk a little about another Carlson.
I'm fascinated by what's happening in Washington with the turnover that they had last year with Justin Williams out, Alzner out, Shattenkirk out, Justin, what's his face?
Williams?
No, not, maybe he's not even Justin.
Schmidt? Nate Schmidt.
See, I was close. Schultz.
In the neighborhood.
Justin Schultz sure. is actually where I was going with. Johansson to New Jersey, just the number of losses that they took.
Yeah.
And then to roll through the season. Now your coach, who is gonna be the Stanley Cup winning coach for your ass backward franchise, is probably gonna leave.
I hope he walks out the door. Thank you.
Then you have your right-handed, power play quarterback in Carlson, led the league in defenseman scoring this year. No contract. He's gonna go to free agency July 1st.
Yeah,
fascinating.
Man, both of those are interesting to me. I think Trotz, for some reason, maybe more so. There was some reports circulating a few weeks ago that maybe he and the McClellan, yeah, hadn't spoken for like weeks at a time throughout the regular season. Like it was pretty well known. And then they were down two games to Columbus, right? And then you drew Pittsburgh, so you assume that's an exit. And here they are, and it just keeps. I think if I'm Trotz, it wouldn't even be just the stick it to him factor, but I'm going to win the cup. What else can I do with this team? Looking at the core, an aging core.
For
right?
sure.
I might even take this year off and just wait for something to fall in my lap that I feel like is on the upswing, right? Maybe.
You mean wait and see what Lou Lamoriello does in New Jersey? I mean, on the island?
Maybe, but I don't know if that's quite the, are the Panthers going to make a move in the next year or so, right? Was Bugner the guy who kind of helped?
I think Bugner's a solid coach for that point where the Panthers are.
I wonder if Calgary's regretting jumping so fast at Peters.
Well, and you have the GM. Those two are longtime buddies.
Right.
Right. So to me, that is a...
To me, and I guess Trotz doesn't have to decide what he thinks of the Islanders until after they sign Tavares and or not sign Tavares, right? But I wonder if I wouldn't just sit back for a year and wait and see what presents itself as a good opportunity. I think if you win the cup in Washington, you become the guy who took that team that could never get over the hump. You did that thing. You clearly aren't really wanted there. I wonder if that GM now doesn't say, well, for PR reasons, I have to, you know, we just won the cup.
I have to extend him a contract?
Yeah. But unless it's something like 4 or 5 years, I'm not interested. And even then, I think...
Well, and you got to make it $5
million. Yep. Yeah, it's probably 4 years at $5
million. With all the success he had in Nashville?
Yeah.
And then what he's done there, clearly you watch Ovi blocking shots and doing all those things, yeah, and his buy-in.
Yep.
To me, Trotz has to get some credit for that.
Of course. So you look at...
Now, I hate Oshie to see Ovi with his hands open trying to... You're going to Bobby Ryan that, although clearly nobody's as fragile as...
Bobby Ryan got no problem breaking a finger on your basic everyday
task. Wiping my bum. Oh, broke a finger again.
But Oshie is going to break down fast. He's on a big, long, terrible contract. Ovechkin's going to... I'm not saying it all happens next season, but pretty soon, Ovi's going to start to slow down. Backstrom is around the same age. Orpik, you still have for...
And really, he's done. He's on fumes right now.
Yeah. So, you know, do you maybe look like a genius, right? Win the
Ooh,
cup.
Look at me. I'm a genius.
And let that fall apart under someone else's watch.
For sure, man.
Yeah.
If you are already in a spot where you and the GM aren't happy together.
Right. So happy together.
Yeah. Ditch it, man. Ditch it. You've already, as you said, at the top, you go, see ya. You took an expansion team to you know, fairly decent success.
Yep.
Right, left there. Took a team with a superstar who could never get it done. Right? And you're going to win. See ya. Write your own ticket somewhere else.
Carlson's salary, John Carlson just keeps going up and up and up. And someone is going to overpay based on, he's a free agent.
He's making $9 million bucks at least next year.
Yeah. And that's going to be a terrible, terrible contract.
That will be a terrible contract. But it'll be another one of those market-altering contracts. Somebody's going to give him
that second tier of
$63 million. Whew.
That's going to be ugly as shit. Please don't be Toronto.
Yeah. Hey, but you,
I know.
You don't think you,
I know.
With a little money off the books there that, you know, paying him big fat cake.
8 times 8, we can't give him 8 years, but, you know.
You can give him 7 times 9.
Yeah, I don't want it.
No, I really don't. I know, but.
I'm glad Lou's gone, to be honest with you. Yeah, the thing is, he was always probably going to be he would be for sure the highest paid free agent defenseman this year, but. As we've seen before, a really good playoffs can
make
people do stupid things, right?
And do you have three better guys who are 1 year away from unrestricted in terms of Oliver Ekman-Larsson?
Doughty,
and Carlson, yeah. All 1 year out, who are all looking at that going, yeah?
Get yours, man.
What's that guy going to do? Oh, wait, he signed for $9 million. Cha-ching, 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 ratchet.
I see you guys at 13, right? Or whatever.
Well, you're hearing, I think, the number that they were negotiating in Phoenix right now or in Arizona is 8 times 8.
Yep.
For
that's going up.
Yeah. Right. So to me, I'm taking all three of those guys I named, and clearly the Doughty and the Carlson are.
Yeah.
But I'm taking Ekman-Larsson over Carlson as well.
Me too. So,
all right. Well, there's nothing more to discuss. There's nothing more to discuss on that front. But you wonder how, and somebody brought it up today. I heard on the radio they were saying, "How can you let this happen? You know, to let this guy who is in your top pair running your first power play unit? How do you let him get to free agency?" And somebody said, "Yeah, potentially he wanted to be there."
Right.
That's
a two-way street.
Yeah, you may not have a choice. Now you do if you sweeten it so much.
Sure.
But that's a dangerous game, man. With your top defenseman, you willing to let him go?
Well, it looks like it, right?
Yeah, no, it's totally a hypothetical to you,
yeah.
But
yeah, but I mean, once they started signing the like to me, the Oshie deal was the end of Carlson. And I know they don't play the same position, but that was terrible money for too long. You can only have so many of those, right? You're not getting rid of Ovechkin. You're not getting rid of Backstrom because Kuznetsov's going to get paid here within, I think he's only a year or two out because he's on a bridge, I think, right now.
Who'd you say? Sorry.
Kuznetsov.
Yeah.
So you can't keep them all, right? And
you can't.
It sucks.
It sucks for sure, Leafs.
You want to talk?
Has this changed? And I know we've touched on it in various forms throughout as this playoffs have progressed. Has this changed Ovechkin for you? How you feel about him? I see everything through the Crosby Ovechkin lens.
Yeah, I know you do. And we have touched on it before. I think I was more comfortable with seeing him win it this year than you were. You were still sticking it to him a little.
Right. And to me, it's forever tied to I always felt like he was pulling a paycheck, loved to score the goals.
Yeah.
More of the watch me, not follow me kind of guy. And really, you know, just as happy. He wanted to win when he was playing in the playoffs.
Right.
But invariably, when the second round came around and he was done,
yeah,
he was just as happy to hop a charter.
Go play for Putin. And
yep. Go play for the mother country and be done and take another run at it next year.
Right.
Is there any coincidence to you that in the year that the NHL didn't go to the Olympics and he made all that noise, he's going anyways, fuck you, I'm doing it, and his owner saying, yep, all right. You know, Leonsa said, I'm going to back him.
Yep.
And he didn't get to go, that this is the year that he has his greatest success? Anything to that for you?
No, I don't think so. I mean, like last year, let's be honest, they were a game seven away from moving past Pittsburgh, right? Lost again and had a better team, quite frankly. It wouldn't have shocked anyone if Washington won the cup last year. So this year,
it would have, yes.
Okay.
As it is right now, honestly, when you wake up and you go, look at that. Hmm.
To me, I don't see much of a tie-in, really. If anything, I would have thought the opposite would be the case. He would have moped around this year.
You moping bitch.
Been called that before.
Yes.
Morose motherfucker.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't actually speaking to you, but
what else is new?
Yeah, this is exactly right.
You know what? I don't see the tie-in. I don't really know what you're driving at there.
Not even a tie-in. Doesn't need to be a tie-in. Any kind of coincidence,
yeah, no,
any kind
I don't
of
think so. To me, they seem like a different team. They're still pretty close to as fast as they were last year, but they seem more physical with some of the guys they brought in. And I know you're a little higher on Tom Wilson than me, but he's turned into a little bit more of a contributor than he was last year. Chandler Stephenson is suddenly a guy that we've heard of.
Well, you hear his name and you're like, what?
That kid was born in the height of the Friends.
Yeah, Chandler exactly. Bing, middle name Bing.
Middle name Miriam, actually.
Okay.
Chandler Miriam Bing.
Okay. Yeah, there's a bunch of things. When you look at how poorly at times Orlov and Niskanen played in that third round against Tampa, I've been super impressed with just what Washington has done, right, in terms of the whole team, right, and what they've been able to do to Vegas.
Yeah.
And you look at what people are saying Kucherov and Stamkos needed to do more in that third round.
Yep.
They didn't, but there it is, right? And then you look at now and you go, that first line, which was lighting it up for Vegas, is now strangely silent.
Well, you know, it's
and the penalty kill, honestly, and they're making Fleury move.
Yep.
And it looks so easy.
Well, and that's the problem. Like, Fleury hasn't been as good as he has been in previous rounds. But they are not making life – his defense is not making life easy for him. The cross-crease passes that you're seeing all the time.
Lucas Spezza, you say?
Yeah, exactly. Like, when you talk about they made an what was it? Game one that was the 6-4 game.
Yeah.
Game two, Washington ties the series. And Ovechkin is getting his Fuck, he's getting those sweet chances from the face-off circle right on the power play. And all of a sudden, Vegas decides, we're going to put somebody on him. It's been McNabb, it's been whatever. And that's his whole job, is to just stand there. And so you see it in game four, where Ovi goes, all right, he moves up to the point. And McNabb or whoever goes with him. And now it is John Carlson wide open in Ovi's spot on the faceoff circle, ripping him, right?
And right. Well, and what else has been successful is, okay, you're going to take that from the circles away.
Yeah.
All right, we'll just throw it in the middle.
Right.
Right, where Oshie's been sitting, yep. Right, in between the hashes. And you just, bang.
Oh, the play he made in game four from his stick to his. And Devontae Smith-Pelly looking like a fucking, man, kicking it up to the.
Looking like John, the sweet looking like John Druce.
Right. Looking like
Chris Kontos.
He's one goal away from matching his season-long total in these playoffs, right?
Well,
and that play he made in game four, again, another sweet one, kicking it up to his stick and wham, up high. Like,
oh, that was the – see, now I'm watching that, and so Shea Theodore has that, and he's backing He's backing into his own, and Beagle's coming down the boards on him, and you're like, okay. Oh, you had all the time in the world.
Yeah.
And then he throws it right to Beagle. And you're like, what are you doing? Like, I know you're not supposed to go out into the center of the ice, but there's only one guy there.
Yeah.
And then Beagle just whips it across. And you're like, oh.
Yeah, Theodore's been really, really bad. What else was it? Oh, I wanted to ask you what you thought of the whole fucking. So Donald Trump, like presidents do. Invites the Super Bowl winners to the White House. The Super Bowl winners say no thanks, and then Donald Trump goes, "Well, you were never invited anyway."
Didn't he do that with the Golden State Warriors last year? He invited them. They said no, and he's like, "Why wasn't it you?
You know, you weren't actually invited." And the whole thing, man, like Fox News, his speaker box, right?
Yeah,
they're throwing up pictures of because not one Philadelphia Eagle knelt during the anthem at all in the season. But they're all of a sudden, they've got pictures of them. Oh, it turns out they're praying. This looks really good. This is the first time in as long as I can remember Fox News has had to come out and apologize for something they've said because it upset their own people, right? Christian hardcores. So, well, look, here's Philadelphia Eagles players taking a knee. They're not kneeling. They're praying, which was not during the anthem, you fucking.
Yep.
And so they, of course, ask LeBron during the NBA Finals what his thoughts were. And he's, you know, I support the Eagles. I don't blame them for not wanting to go. I can tell you we won't be going, and I can't imagine that the Golden State Warriors.
As he said, doesn't matter who wins this series. Yeah,
they're not going.
Neither of us are going.
And Steph Curry from the Warriors, of course, steps up and says the exact same thing. Is this the new, until he's out of there, is this the new normal? Will we always see now, like if a Democrat president gets back in, there'll be a bunch of upset right-wing players who won't go?
I guarantee when the white bread capitals win.
Oh, they're going.
They're going.
The Russian-led capitals in Washington
exactly.
Are
this
going.
This is it. Kuznetsov, Orlov, and Ovechkin right up front.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
But to me, it's as simple as that for me, right? That you have these sports dominated by black athletes saying, yeah, we're not doing that. That guy's an ass clown.
Right.
Right? Whereas you have, well, and Devontae Smith-Pelly being.
For those of you who hear this before Thursday, please go vote and not for our ass clown. Those of you in Ontario.
Yes.
That's as political as we'll get on that. But
yes. But yeah, to me, that's what it is, right? Is you have, you know, a sport dominated by white athletes who are going to go, I don't have any problem with that. I'll go. It's an honor.
Right? Man, how bad do the Penguins look now? Like this isn't political. This is something. This is so political. It's clearly become political, and you were used as a pawn, like everyone said would happen. And I agree with you. How are the Washington Capitals not going to go to the White House?
Yeah,
that's happening.
For sure, it is. So, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what to make of that. Right. It's farcical.
And I think before this, right, like before the whole Penguins thing this year with Trump and whatever, I think Tim Thomas was the only one who'd ever made a stink about it, right? Like,
yeah, and where's he now?
Well, yeah, what was that? So 2011 Cup.
Yep.
So, yeah, that would have been Obama, obviously, and he wasn't a fan of whatever. And he got roasted for it, right? Like, all the Cavs and Warriors are being patted on the back by the media, right? Like,
yeah, okay. And it's true. It's he was, but he's a guy, when I said, where is he now?
Right.
He's living in a bunker somewhere in sort of northwestern Michigan or maybe in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin was where I was going to.
Yeah. He's somewhere out there, you know, eating canned hash and just.
Yeah.
Who knows what's happening? Oiling his guns. I don't really know what's going on there. So he.
Oiling his guns.
Well, he's a bit of a wacko.
Well, he's an American. You're not all wackos, but many of you are gun nuts.
Oh, and I wasn't even talking about his willingness or desire to own many guns. I'm talking about his.
Oh, you said oiling his gun.
Yeah, I did. But his militia style leanings is where I was going
maybe
with.
Maybe you meant fucking suns out, guns out. He was just putting some lotion on the old
biceps.
This is
it, maybe right here. Because we all know Tim Thomas.
Obviously.
Fitness maven.
Well known for being just ripped. I feel like there was one or two other things here, man, that I can't seem to recall off the
top
of my head.
Yeah, well, and you know what? Just to take that one step further, I was listening to Randy Ambrosi. Yeah.
Of the CFL?
Yeah. He was sort of rolling through doing his countrywide. You're
thinking of the scores, old Tony Ambrosio.
Yes. and it came up that they asked him about that, right? What is the CFL's policy on athletes who wish to kneel during the anthem or... Yep. And he didn't really say, he talked about it's important to be in contact with your athletes. And he didn't really talk about any official policy, which they clearly do not have.
Well, I'm going to stop you there because he was asked this question a couple of weeks ago and the CFL commissioner's office put out a statement that said this statement from last year has not changed. And it was that no one will be disciplined for taking a knee during the anthem.
Right. Okay, no, it's perfect. Yes. And I think we covered that last year.
Yeah.
And I think where I was going with this was you didn't see it last year, right? And I'll be interested to maybe we'll touch on it with AJ when he's here next week.
Yeah.
As somebody who's in the locker room, as somebody who is with these guys day to day, is I think people continually lose sight of exactly what that is. It's not anti-
That's
military.
The thing.
It's not anti.
Long since lost sight of what this was about.
Right.
This when it started with. Oh shit! I can't believe I'm blanking. The quarterback from San Francisco.
Yep. Not Travis Konecny, but
Colin Kaepernick.
Fuck. Colin Kaepernick, not Travis Konecny.
No.
As I said.
So. It was in protest of police brutality against, you know, African Americans. Yeah. I wonder when we talk about the CFL, if it doesn't happen here because most of the Americans playing, well, I don't know what point I'm making in Canada where the same brutality, I won't say never happens, but isn't as prominent. And I'm kneeling during someone else's anthem.
Right. And somebody made the point because it was brought up again today on local radio that. What you find here is a lot of athletes who come to a country which is, you know, much more sort of accepting of multiculturalism.
Right.
Of other nationalities. And as you said, I'm not saying it doesn't happen.
Right.
It's not nearly as prevalent.
Yes.
And a lot of these guys are happy to still be playing football somewhere.
Well, and that's the thing too, right? You don't – if you're a star in the NFL – although, as we thought, you were invincible, right? Like, no one's going to cut Tom Brady if he takes a knee. Now, Tom Brady's never going to do it, but...
And Tom Brady came out pro-Trump.
Yes, exactly. But if you're that level of superstar, you're golden. You can do whatever the fuck you want, and somebody will... You can beat the hell out of your wife. The NFL will still give you a contract. Up here in the CFL, most of these guys feel like they're on their last chance, I'm not going to ruffle any feathers. And I wonder, you know, we talk about the NHL being clearly so white, and it is, but we talked at the beginning of the season about some of the black players who did talk, and there was one or two who said, I would consider, I think it was...
It was Wayne Simmons.
I always get JT Brown and JT Miller mixed up. I think it was JT Brown.
I'm not familiar with him. I'm thinking of the other guy who...
The guy that you're thinking about out in San Jose.
Played for UPEI Panthers.
Yep. His name escapes me. Anyway, but again...
It was San Jose and Philadelphia were playing in a...
Preseason.
Yep.
You're a Canadian kneeling during someone else's anthem. Does that become a different story than you're trying to... When Americans kneel during an American anthem, I'm protesting my thing, my whatever I'm doing. Does it get taken as a whole other level of disrespect if a foreigner kneels during your anthem?
If I'm a black athlete, Canadian or otherwise, and I'm plying my trade in the United States of America,
mm-hmm.
I can only assume that I'm subject to nobody asks me for my my nationality and my passport before they
cheer me, boo me, sign me, cut me.
Yeah, jeer me, throw bananas at me, whatever it is
that
they may do.
Back here. The Wayne Simmons banana thing happened
for sure in London.
In London, Ontario, yep. Yeah.
Well, it's also happened to in Shawinigan.
Oh, dear.
Shawinigan, yeah.
So, yeah, it opens a whole other can of worms when you talk about the CFL. Would an American kneel during the Canadian anthem to protest something that doesn't happen as...
And before any of our American listeners think that we're condescending or looking down on you, well, we are partially.
Yeah, for sure.
But I told you the story before, listening to Henry Burris on air here, and he said his kids have never heard the N-word before they moved to Ottawa. So, nobody's immune to it.
Yeah.
Right? There's white trash everywhere.
Don't forget, next week, AJ Jakubek, the voice of the Red Blacks, joins Tall Can Sports, and we might even... get a little something going that might be just for our patrons while AJ's here. We'll see. So you can check that out at patreon.com/tallcanaudio. Give us a follow on Twitter @tallcanaudio. Facebook.com/tallcanaudio. We will see you on the next one.
See ya.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook @tallcanaudio.